This is Sunday Skate on Sports Radio WEEI. Stanley Cup Finals Edition.
For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Talking Bruins and the NHL.
Sure, old-time hockey.
Like it is sure.
Yeah.
With Ken Laird from the Mutt and Callahan Show.
A bunch of criminals. We ought to be in jail. That's all there is to it.
Pete Blackburn from CBS Sports.
What are you guys doing?
Putting on the foil.
Yeah, you want some?
No. And WEEI.com Bruins writer Matt Kalman.
Give me a grape and an orange. None of that stinking root beer.
Lace him up for some Bees talk right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I do listen to the hockey show on Sunday morning.
Oh, the Ken Laird hockey show?
Yeah,
not anymore, though,
I won't
apparently.
Not anymore.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
So then they won't have any listeners. So.
Oh, Larry Johnson. Revenge is best served cold, my friend.
They need to get somebody on there with some passion, some anger on that show, though.
I agree. I've been saying it. Calvin's on the hot seat.
Obviously, he is not listening to it. First of all, the Ken Laird hockey show?
Yes.
What the hell? Pete and I are the ones who carry this damn ship.
Who's the longest tenured
member
of the show?
He's obviously never heard it.
Technically speaking, I am.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, did you predate me?
Yeah.
We were on some shows together.
Right, but I was on there before you. It was me, DJ, and Joe McDonald.
Right, Joe McDonald.
I was on the board, but you were on the air.
So now we know LJ's a liar. Because he's never listened to the show. If he thinks
LJ's
there's not enough passion here,
listener.
He calls it the Ken Laird
he's
show.
Upset.
Ken Laird hockey show?
He's upset Jesus. Because I've played the Kawhi
the
Leonard,
Laird
the Howie Leonard drop way too often.
So now it's after
morning.
It's after 9 o'clock.
And I mocked his ability to say Pascal Siakam. So I'm not sure.
Howie Leonard.
Yeah, Cowie.
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard.
Did you call him Cowie? Is that, he's like a cow?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. So that's
whatever.
Become a running bit of the morning.
So it's after 9 o'clock now.
We love LJ.
It's after 9 o'clock now. Does that mean like the old guys like Callahan and Ordway who were mocking me on Thursday are up and listening to this so I can get my two cents in here and gloat a little bit?
Well, they were accurately
Ordway
mocking
who called
you.
Me a fanboy, the guy who has a Dennis Johnson tattoo calling me a fanboy. The guy who used to dust up Red Auerbach's cigar ashes, is calling me a fanboy.
Well,
I was
part
right.
Of the team in those days. You were
I was
not.
Right.
You were right. Technically,
I'm not part of the team. I'm just Matt Stradamus, and just live with it.
You just could have framed the column better.
And I thank you for letting me on the
right.
Ken Laird hockey show.
Well, I created your column too. By the way, I half wrote that thing. I gave you the Krug soundbite, which was the.
I clincher. Take my inspiration from everywhere. I just don't do requests.
Your the problem with your piece was. You said everything's going to be all right because
it wasn't
the top
just,
line
no,
always
just,
has struggles early.
It wasn't just the quotes. It was the stats. You look at the numbers.
There
everyone,
were stats in there?
Everyone talking about how, they don't come through. Every series, it was, why aren't you guys producing? And Marchand saying, we're okay. And then you look at the numbers, and he's a point-per-game player. What more do you want out of the damn guy?
Okay, but this is a new series, a new team. It needed a little
and it
more
was a
depth.
New series from
why are they going to come out of this? What is St. Louis doing to the top line to take them out?
And
what's going on? What's happening?
Worst in game two. He looked
yes.
terrible.
All
yes,
the more
yes.
reason why you knew he was going to bounce back. I mean, he owned,
it was just
he
was
owned
a blind faith
he came out after the
column.
Game and said, I need to be better. He didn't
But you don't
from
trust
me.
The other guys when they say that they
right.
Because I don't know them.
So Marchand is always
So you
right.
guys are
he
friends.
He always speaks the truth.
He's been right every time since he came into this year, said I'm going to be better behaved, didn't get a suspension the whole series. All he's done in the playoffs is bop a guy in the head and snap a stick. He's been on his best behavior. He's a point-per-game player. He's been right.
Listen,
it's time to own it. Let's,
you've
let's
had
look
two
at this guy.
In the post
he's
season.
On the
it's
cusp.
Fine. Everybody
he's
has
on,
a bad call.
He's on
See,
the
that's,
cusp.
That's Matt recognizing that somebody said that he's not angry or doesn't have enough passion. He's going to spend this entire
well,
season
Well, yeah, exactly.
Screaming.
I mean, you got Larry Johnson, who's like boring people on Saturday mornings for the last 40 years.
He is not.
Complaining that we're not passionate. My God.
Larry's electric.
He is not
a good friend of mine.
To this. He sits there doodling and letting Mustard do all the talking.
He's a good counterpoint, good foil for Craig Mustard. Now, you had two misses. You had the Cam Neely is going to be a soon-to-be Hall of Famer.
Cam Neely
executive.
Is a Hall of Fame executive. He's about to win his second cup. He revitalized an organization that was a laughing stock.
He built the Warrior practice arena with his bare hands.
Exactly.
That was the
30,
we
go, 30
we
years.
We turn the mics off, and Kalman goes on this rant about how he built Warrior.
30 years of rumors of the Bruins getting a real practice facility. They're practicing in a damn high school rink. Players would get traded here. They would get brought out to Wilmington and be shown this place that it was like Amityville Horror Show. These players would just drop dead. You made this place. Listen, in a salary cap league, you need to have the state-of-the-art facilities. They went from one
I
trainer.
Hate salary cap league.
They went from one trainer. They went from one trainer to 20. They have these hyperbolic chambers. They have the hot tubs. Why do they finally have?
Did Cam Neely write the check for these facilities?
Why do they finally have? Why? Who finally convinced the Jacobses to part with the money and do all the politicking it would take to get a practice rink state of the art in the 21st century? Cam Neely. Two words. Cam Neely.
So that's
in a salary cap league.
That's what convinced John Moore to come here.
Well, now we know what OMF is going to focus on, some misspeaking that I did, instead of the actual facts that I was right about everything was going to be all right. Instead of calling me a fanboy, they're going to make fun of something I said.
It's fine to predict that.
Well, you make just, it a great point.
You needed to, it was poorly framed. That's fine. It came off as a fanboy column, which you are not. That's why we like you. We like your passion.
Right.
We like
just
cranky
Calvin. So that's straight.
Okay. Now, you wrote that the Blues are a dirty team after last night's game. And I like that column. I think it's accurate. And as Pete pointed out, I'm not sure they have any other identity. Can they flip the switch in Game 4 and become a focused team that's going to stay away from that stuff and, you know, quit putting Boston on the power play? Because that's going to determine how the rest of the series goes, right? I mean, if this continues, I don't know what else St. Louis can do to change other than getting Sundquist back and hoping they can roll, you know, four lines and be the team they were.
And this is the point where you do not take your foot off the gas, because you have them where you want them. They're in their own heads, and if you get off to a quick start in Game 4, I really do think that they're just going to fold in on themselves.
Yeah. And you know what, too? It's funny, because my day started yesterday with being at my son's soccer game where they won 12-0, and the coach is trying to get them to pass six times and not rub it in, and my son's running around talking trash like a little Marchand out there, and it's embarrassing. But then I was glad that the Bruins kind of laid it on at the end last night, not just because the Blues had been taking these liberties and trying to injure them so you rub it in, but like I was saying earlier, don't give them any hope. Don't give them any momentum. Don't let them make it a close game, score an extra attacker goal. Don't let them get any kind of good feelings. Don't let them think they can beat Tuca. They clearly were demoralized by the end of that. You kick their rear ends, you got an empty netter, and then you got another goal after that. Those are always the best goals, when you score after the empty netter, just the extra kick in the rear. Undoubtedly, St. Louis, being as dirty as they are, deserve that. Their fans deserve that because they're too happy-go-lucky, and hopefully they're finally crying today. And you didn't give them any confidence, especially with the one game, with the one day off. Confidence could carry over with one day to the next.
And scoring an early goal on Bennington, who has looked very beatable in this series so far. He scored an early goal on that guy and make him question whether or not he sucks.
you could put some doubt in there.
He could be the next, you know, Hamburglar, Patrick Laleem, whatever. You never know. So
the only downside was McAvoy getting hurt late. He took a shot and
then he
got lit up by Schwartz. They said he was fine. But
the fact that Bruce Cassidy just came out and said he's okay makes me worry, because usually they would say, well, we'll see tomorrow
See, right.
Instead, he's like trying to claim that he's okay, so we'll find out.
Good point. And they have one day between these two. The only downside of the game was that early third period, Carlo gets a penalty on O'Reilly in front of the net. Chara takes a bad penalty on Gunnarsson, came up high on the hit. DeBrusque.
Well, you had that one stretch in the second period, too, that made Bruce a little ballistic. DeBrusque had the giveaway. They showed that on NBC incestantly.
True. They were getting sloppy.
DeBrusque had the giveaway. McAvoy had the giveaway, led to a chance. They got a little sloppy, and I think that's what they were talking about, that the veterans kind of just got everything. You know, I think Bruce was talking about how the veterans got the younger guys to calm down and stop screwing around. They were maybe getting a little carried away early on, thinking it was going to be easy.
Well, Larry Johnson's down on this show, clearly. Dale Arnold is sort of on the fence. He likes the hockey talk this morning, but does not like the who should Chara give the cup to first?
God, I don't know how Dale gets out of bed in the morning. He's into so many jinxes. Don't touch the cup. Don't talk about the cup. I don't know what other jinxes does he have. Does he realize that if the Bruins win the cup, he could maybe writing a revised edition of his book and getting an extra advance?
Yeah, but
talk about it.
You have totally sold him out. You will not be the co-author going forward.
I blame Mutt and Callahan for that one.
You said Dale couldn't write, basically. You said he was illiterate. You had to rewrite everything for him?
Listen, sometimes the truth has to come out.
But
I will respectfully disagree.
To all these responses, people are weighing in on who Chara should give the cup to, right? I think it should be Tuukka Rask. These guys, for some reason, think it's David Backes from some sentimentality.
Wow, we got a lot of response.
They're
You're putting
St.
words
Louis.
In our mouths.
Oh, you said Bergeron,
I
then
said
Backes.
Bergeron.
But you have Backes ahead of Tuukka.
If it's in St. Louis.
Okay. It's bizarre.
That's my take.
Just to rub it in.
A
little extra tweak, or it's a little more meaningful.
Let
there.
Some of those salty Blues fans see David Backes raise his cup before they sprint out of the building.
I agree with this guy. Rick says Charlie Coyle should be the first, I don't want to say the first guy, but he should be ahead of Backus. I would put Coyle way ahead of Backus.
No way. Don't you understand what David
veteran,
Backus
the
means?
Veteran thing.
The guy who's been
weight.
Around the longest.
They
the
have
guy
veterans.
Who wears a
Backus.
Letter.
They have Chara and
Bergeron. If they didn't need Backus because they had veterans, they wouldn't have gotten Backus.
One. But a guy who's never gotten one, that holds weight.
He'd only been past the second round once. This is like ridiculous, uncharted territory. Do you understand how much the Bruins love him? I don't care what your opinion is, what my opinion, what Pete, anyone. The Bruins love this guy. I mean, the players. They love this guy.
That's
they
fine.
Are
Let's,
playing
I'm
for not, him. They want to give him the cup early because they want him to be able to
like,
leave
think,
the shot.
You,
the
Sharks, you don't think Tuukka Rask would be upset if they give the cup?
No! Tuukka Rask is indifferent to things. He doesn't care.
That's not true. That
you think the Sharks won the cup, that Joe Thornton wouldn't get the cup immediately?
Joe Thornton plays major minutes, but Backus is playing third-line
center. What are you talking about?
Third-line center now.
He's a significant part of that team. Much more important to the Sharks than Backus is to this team. They have carried Backus. In fact, he was benched for Carson Coleman going into the postseason.
Sure, but in the locker room, I think that they mean similar. They held similar statues of importance there.
Jason is in New Hampshire. He's next up on Sunday Skate at 617-779-7937. Hello, Jason.
Hello, can you hear me?
We got you.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about what you guys thought about some of the calls there. The one against Chara, boarding, and then the Jake DeBrusk one when it went out of bounds and they called Jake DeBrusk for deliberately putting the puck out of bounds when the Blues guy touched it. I just wanted to hear your opinions on that. Thank you.
I didn't see a Blues guy touch that. Did you see? I thought that was pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, it was pretty cut and dry.
The one that was bizarre was the review of the offside on the goal, which went Boston's way, actually.
Well, it's great that all these. How many people does NBC employ? Legions of people to employ them, and none of them thought of the fact that the Bruins hadn't played the puck. They're watching the skate and watching the puck, and no one in the truck could say, oh, by the way, it wasn't the Bruins that pushed the puck into the zone.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a fail. Let's see how many Emmys they win for that one.
In hindsight, it's a terrible challenge because they get penalized for attempting it.
And that goes back to what I tweeted right after that. We always credit, you know, the guys behind the scenes, the video crew. The video guy there should have to sit in the box after blowing that one.
Yeah, and it leads to a power play, and they scored on that right in the start of the second period.
Four shots on net.
But it's I can see what Berube's thinking there, actually. It's close enough. It's 2-0. They should not penalize a team for challenging. I think that's extreme.
They should for offsides, which they do. I mean, like for goaltender interference, I'm fine with not doing that. But for offsides, I just think that before they started doing that, too many teams were just taking a flyer on maybe it was offsides on the entry and slows down the game way too much.
You still get only one, right? Are you limited on that?
Well, that's just it. The video review system is so dumb to begin with. Goes, okay, we want to get every call right, but we're only going to let you challenge one play, and if you get it wrong, you don't get the challenge again, and they can be five wrong calls the rest of the game, but you lost your challenge. It's not about getting the calls right. Next time you hear somebody say that, it's not about getting the calls right. It's about creating a game show atmosphere where we have to say, oh, are they going to challenge? Maybe they'll challenge. Oh, now they lost their challenge. Oh, no, they get a penalty. That's what it's about. It's not about getting the calls right.
It's about limiting the league's liability. Their accountability.
Well, if you want to go back to where it starts,
you could have challenged it if you wanted to. It's your fault,
right? Well, exactly. If you want to go back to the origin, the original sin here is that something wrong happened to Montreal. So now we have to have a stupid challenge system because Montreal got jobbed once. Now they can't even make the playoffs. So I don't know why we have to keep worrying about what Montreal's problems were.
But last night they got it correct. They got it right.
Right.
I didn't have much of a problem with the officiating last night, other than there were calls that went both ways, and I think that they let the they let the game get out of hand a little bit. But other than that, there was nothing egregious.
They could have called Blay on Backus in the first 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. That could have been a boarding penalty.
Not boarding, but I don't know.
It could have been a check to the head. Yeah.
But again, I think that's a 50-50 call. I don't have a problem with them not calling it.
As long as they're consistent. Right. I mean, I have the problem. I mean, the Maroon, Chara, coincidental minors were kind of ticky-tack.
Yeah, it was a little weak.
But the good thing is there weren't, other than that, there weren't really any ticky-tack. I don't care what the Blues are saying. Perron decked Carlo at center ice. You can't do that. It's an interference call, clearly. It's certainly not ticky-tack. And that's the best part about this because the Blues think they can win this way with all the physicality, and they're getting called for it when they cross the line, and it's they're making them pay.
Back to Dale's favorite, who gets the cup after Chara hoists it. This is deep from Fred. Could you foresee a scenario where Chara pulls a Bork, takes off the captaincy, and has an A on his sweater underneath, hands Bergeron a sweater with a C on it, therefore signifying Patrice is the captain going forward.
Well, I think that's a little too much ceremony for a Stanley Cup final.
I can't see that happening this year, but maybe next year when they win the Cup. Maybe next year when they win the Cup, they would
Maybe next year when they give out the old home opener trot around the ice, one last trot with the Cup. Maybe that's a good time for it, but not in the Stanley Cup final.
They won't do that. They won't do that trot around the Cup if they clinched it at home. They only did that because they clinched it at home.
I think that that's something that you do every year.
Oh, just I thought they invented that because they hadn't won at home.
That's when you raise the banner.
Raise the banner.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know if they always skate with the Cup the way they did in 2011. But you know, in all seriousness, if you want to talk about Char on the captaincy, he's not giving that seat at Bergeron active.
I even asked you before the show, would he retire?
On the cusp of retirement, he'll give it up because he's always said that it's Bergeron's seat once I don't have it anymore.
But you don't think give it up? But you don't think there's any chance now that he's signed the contract?
Well, right. If he had any thoughts of retiring after a championship, he wouldn't have signed this deal. Now he could have waited until after the season to just sign it.
Maybe he didn't believe in this team.
There you go.
Conspiracy theory.
Brand X title. Brand X is the talking point today. Is going to be, does Tchara believe in this team?
But things have changed since he signed that contract. He won a cup.
Yeah, maybe he's coming back because he loves to play. And what the hell is he going to do with himself? He's going to go biking in the Alps. He's going to come back and play. He wants to defend the championship. What ultimate way would it be to just repeat as champion? And as we know, if they win the cup next year, who would he pass it to?
Oh, great question. Euro Vakanainen, maybe? Signifying that Krug is not going to protect Krug in the expansion draft with Seattle. Let's go to Rob next on the phone lines. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hey, I just wanted to talk about, was it 98 or 99 when the Avalanche won the Cup?
Yep.
Who was the first guy to lift it?
It was Bork, wasn't it?
Well, who was their cat?
Yeah, it was Sackett gave it straight
to
Bork.
Sackett gave it to Bork, yes.
Right. He didn't even raise it.
He didn't even raise it.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Exactly. Skated right over to him, gave it to him. Obviously, I don't think Beck is as good as Bork, but... I think you have that same respect.
Well, if you could guarantee me that Chara would do that, not raise it, but just give it right to Tuukka,
that'd be great.
Then I would say Tuukka's net second, because that would be
snub
amazing.
To Rask. Are you kidding me? He's going to be sitting there thinking, Backus, this guy gets it before
he's on the Bruins and he loves Backus.
I don't think it's the same thing. It's Bork had waited so long, longer than Backus. And
is a Hall of Fame player.
Bigger impact on that team than Backus
pretty
did.
Pretty much anyone associated to hockey other than Devils fans was rooting for Ray Bork to win that. So
didn't Gretzky give it right to Messier when they won? One of those might have been the one over the Bruins in 88. I forget.
Where does John Moore fix in?
Good point. Very good question. I would say fourth.
What about Steve Kampfer?
On Kampfer fifth. Let's go to Larry in Rhode Island next. Hi, Larry.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, isn't that funny how St. Louis likes to throw the kitchen sink in the first 5 minutes at the Bruins? When the Bruins are a well-rested team and can take that first 5 minutes while St. Louis is kind of running out of gas, I think it's a bad, bad, bad decision by St. Louis to run these guys so hard when they're not well-rested as the Bruins, and the Bruins can take it and then take over the game with this system that St. Louis is playing.
Yeah, it's a good, interesting point. I mean, you knew they were going to come out hot with all the fan. Hour pregame or whatever they had there took forever.
Right. I think it's the veteran core and the coaching that, tells you to not go on an empty tank after 5 minutes. And I think Carolina fell into the same trap where they just go out there. They think they're going to win the game in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I think part of it is St. Louis likes to throw the body around early on and try to set the tone and sort of bang bodies as much as they can in the early going. And I mean, it can expend your energy. And I mean, obviously the power play didn't help. So
yeah, I mean, it's like
you can see it in the third period. You can see it. The Bruins just have better legs. I mean, they're more responsive to the puck. They're just taking the game better in the third period. And St. Louis looks like, hey, we're out of gas.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's an emotional toll too. I mean, if you throw everything you have at them in the first 5 minutes and don't score or really turn the game in your favor, it's a total disappointment. And
not only energy. I go back to that Gunnarsson in front of the net, which led to the 2-on-1, which led to the penalty, which led to Bergeron's goal. So they're not only, they're jacked up, they're aggressive and not smart.
Right.
They're taking chances early.
They're definitely
in a game
not
like
smart,
that's
for sure. I mean, maybe that comes from the coach who's got a bit of a blockhead. But
yeah. Now, Darren Pang's going to join us coming up at 9:30. He is a former netminder and the St. Louis Blues TV color analyst. I think he's still doing some work through the playoffs. We'll ask him. I'm sure he's doing some local TV out there. Before we get his take on Binnington, do you think there is a chance he is, to use Tortorella's phrase, cracked, or what do they say?
Dented.
Dented? Dented? Yes.
Is yeah, he he's dented? Absolutely. He
Did
is
they
dented.
Dent Binnington he's last night?
I mean, they dented him before last night because he hasn't been spectacular in any way, stretch, or form.
Are we doing Binnington leash talk?
Yes. What's yes. the leash like? Is Jake Allen...
Well, if they had a lock, the leash option. Is a lot, yeah. a lot shorter
they
than
don't
Jake
have, they
Allen.
Don't have anything behind him.
As I told you, my son's final words last night were, Jake Allen stinks. And he hadn't even seen it come
wrong.
In the game yet. I mean, we were just talking, because he doesn't quite understand the, you know, ride your one goal in the playoffs concept yet. So he asked me who was in goal, and I said, obviously it's Binnington. And he said, yeah, because Jake Allen stinks. So I don't think they're going to Jake Allen just based on that.
But... there's no way to predict this, I guess. I mean, I'm sure even Pang will say he's a first-year starter, so he's it's his first, I want to say first spot of adversity because they've had some bad losses, but
well, hadn't been pulled,
in a cup final with the stage this big, pressure at home. How many of those were bad goals that he gave up? Is the Corrali one?
But as people always say about Tuca, sometimes you want to get a save.
Sometimes you need a save.
The Corrali one, and the, I mean, I know the Krug one had a bit of a deflection, but it still bounced off the bottom of his glove and went in.
Yep.
So you want that save.
He had some bad ones early in the series, too. One that
through the legs.
He picked
his
the stick
five
up
hole's
on.
Been an
yep.
issue.
Yep. So he's got to be fighting it a little bit mentally. And Tuca's been really good. We talked about Conn Smythe favorites early in the show, Krug, Bergeron, and Rask. Rask is probably going to win it more on the body of work than this series.
Right, and it is an MVP for the whole playoffs,
right?
Technically. I mean, so.
But how many great saves did Tuca make? I would say a couple early
in the
game.
That's another thing in the Bruins' favor, though. He's not getting overworked. At the very least, he has energy and he's pretty well rested. He's not being taxed. Even in the overtime game, it didn't go that long. So clearly, he has enough in the tank too to get by. I bet he won't take the ice today, and he'll be
maintenance
rested
day.
And ready to go.
Speculate whether he's hurt.
I think he just needs one of those 5-on-5 games where it's mainly 5-on-5 play, and if he plays well, he locks it up. That's it.
All right, Darren Pang will join us next. It is Sunday Skate with you until 10 a.m. this morning, presented by Wise Snacks and Star Market. Ken Laird, Matt Kalman, and Pete Blackburn, Sports Radio, WEI.
Now back to a Stanley Cup Finals edition of Sunday Skate with Ken Laird, Pete Blackburn, and Matt Kalman on Sports Radio, WEI.
How we play, I mean, big guys like Giancarlo, Charlie, they make it hard to get in there. You see Clifton, he's a battler. We talked about Torrey. So I think that is part of our MO all year. The blocking shots, that's characteristic of our team. That's why Chris Wagner's out. Kevin Miller missed a lot of time this year because blocking shots. So that's just something we typically do. I still think they got in there a little bit. I mean, they bumped into Tuca, it looked like at least two or three times. So they're clearly trying to get in there and work. I mean, their first goal, they got in tight. So, that's what you got to do in playoff hockey.
Bruce Cassidy yesterday not coming out and saying they're running Tuca, but he admitted they're trying to get at him a little bit, which nobody is surprised at, right, Matt? That's
they're not hockey, I'm not surprised, but there's a difference between running him within the play and within the game and trying to get traffic in front of him and this trying to knock him off his game by going face-to-face to him like with Perron. I mean, do you really think that's going to rattle him? You know, the milk crate nutty is a long time ago. We haven't seen much of that from Tuca in several years.
Worth a try, though.
I guess. You got nothing else. If you have nothing else to throw at them at this point, you might as well, right?
We've got some goaltending issues to discuss. Perfect morning to bring on our next guest. He was a staple on the old Dennis and Callahan morning show. Used to hear him all the time. Loved it. Former goaltender himself and now Blues TV analyst during the regular season and I think still doing a ton of work here in the postseason. Darren Pang joins us on Sports Radio WEI. Good morning, Darren.
Well, good morning, fellas. A good morning for Boston hockey fans, that's for sure. coming into St. Louis, where, the place was absolutely nutty. Sitting up there at 5 minutes into the introductions and all the Jumbotron and the emotion and everything, and I said, I'm exhausted. So I think Boston did a great job of going in there and really calming things down with that first penalty kill right off the hop was a real... I thought that was a real big factor in the hockey game, even though it was only 1 minute in.
Yeah, we were just discussing that, Darren. Did the emotion get the best of St. Louis in some ways? Did they expend too much early, and were they a little too aggressive? We saw Gunnarsson get caught there in the 2-on-1, which led to the penalty.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I think you can get overly hyped. I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I said I've never I've never felt anything like that or heard anything like that. It was through the roof. And so, yeah, you can get out of sorts a little bit. I think it's natural for the home team to, either one, number one, you come out and you're absolutely storming and you're just relentless and there's no stopping you. Or, you know, you're a team that struggles on the power play and you lose all kinds of momentum right off the bat. The power play at home has been that way almost all season long. And in fact, in the series against the Winnipeg Jets, they were basically booed off the ice at one point in game four because the power play went like 0-for-6 and it was, and there was nothing to it at all. So, yeah, can you do things that are abnormal? Absolutely. And I think that the St. Louis Blues obviously will be a much more calm team. It's the first time they experienced anything like that. And same with the fans. I think it'll be a little bit more even-keeled for game four.
So do you think that, I mean, even though, you know, last night, if all these things were getting to them and it just they got too hyped and they took so many penalties, that hurt them last night. But three games now, we've seen them be, you know, uncharacteristically undisciplined in these games. Do you think they can get back to, you know, playing a physical game but being more disciplined, staying out of the box?
Hey, I totally agree with what you're saying. There is no question about that. They've been out of sorts that way. And you mentioned David Perron on Tuukka Rask. He could have easily gotten a minor penalty right there.
Sure.
I was actually surprised that he didn't get a penalty. I mean, that's what you're looking at, is any kind of bumps like that. It's after the whistle. It's unnecessary. Why put yourself in that position when you're playing catch-up in the hockey game anyway? And, you know, David had a tough night. He also had the first penalty of the game was not a good penalty to take. It's an easy one for the referee to call when you interfere with a player like that. So, I know that Craig Berube will be all over that. Discipline's a big part of Craig Berube's play. Even though he was one of the toughest players that ever played, he was also a pretty disciplined player, and he commands and demands that from his team. Wouldn't surprise me if he made a few lineup changes as well to make sure he instills that part of it for game four.
Okay.
Yeah, you mentioned the Perron on Rask and sort of the discipline, and Don Sweeney had said, or Bruce Cassidy had said that he thinks that they're sort of trying to rattle Rask's cage. Do you think that is a clear sort of point of emphasis, and are they going about it in the right way?
No, you know what? I don't think that's a clear point of emphasis at all. I think, you know, one thing that Craig Berube's been very consistent with is playing whistle to whistle. So, no, I mean, if David Perron were to get a penalty on that play, no, he would not be a happy camper as a head coach, and either would the teammates of David or anybody else for that matter. They've put too much on the line to end up going to the penalty box in a play that you would call an October or November play. So, no, there's only one thing for Craig Berube, and that is have the puck on your stick, and when you're going to get a goal-scoring chance, don't waste a chance, shoot to score. Everything's about puck possession, holding onto it, and shooting to score. No hopeful, wishful plays. Listen, I'm just a broadcaster on the team. I listen to him every day, and I get the message. I know what he wants, and bumping into goaltenders is not what he wants.
Darren Pang is our guest. Darren, you were there for the start of the Jordan Binnington era, the beginning of it all, midseason. What a story it has been. Before we talk about him in this series and how he's done so far, when did he first appear on your radar, and what was it like to see him take the reins over?
Well, a very fortunate, you know, opportunity for him. Number one, let's start with Providence last year. I mean, he only goes to Providence last year. If John Ferguson Jr., you know, really did a great thing. Took on a goaltender from another organization, wasn't afraid to play Jordan Binnington in Providence, and he played real well and became an all-star. He got on the map right about then. The next thing is, he wasn't going to be the goalie that was going to be recalled this year. It was going to be a guy named Ville Husso, who's the next prospect. And he had an ankle injury. So, again, he has an opportunity. He gets recalled. The first game that he played, it was quite fascinating. I was between the benches in Philadelphia, and there was a couple of saves that he made on the angle, and I said, boy, his angles are really good. And then he made a couple of reflex saves because he's a pretty flexible guy, and I said, wow, that's pretty sharp. But after the game, when I reminded him that he was only the second goalie in Blues history to record a shutout in his debut, his only answer was, cool. I said, we're going to have to work on these answers, bud. I didn't have another question lined up just about yet. So, but I thought in training camp this year especially, I watched him really close, and I thought that he was so much improved. His hands, where he is with his hands. You notice he catches a lot of pucks in front of his body. He battles for space. He doesn't back up. I like that part about him. Like, even last night, like, you know, he didn't want to leave that net, but it was the right time for him to leave that net and kind of regroup a little bit.
Yeah, and a quick follow-up. How has he played in this series compared to the rest of the season? And is there a chance last night is a bit of a breaking point for him at all?
Well, I think Boston did a great job last night. And the one area that I think the Bruins have done a nice job, and they're one of the best in the league at it, is delaying on a shot and going dot to dot, you know, across the middle of the ice. That gets a goaltender frozen and moving sideways. And how many times have you seen that type of play? The Johansson to Charlie Coyle play. A perfect example, freezing everybody and playing it, you know, east to west. So I think they've done a great job against him. He's shown great resolve. Like Tuukka Rask is 16-5-2 after a loss in the regular season in the playoffs. All these goaltenders are the same. They all bounce back. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here in this position. But again, I'm going to give credit to the Boston Bruins for the way that they've gone after Jordan Binnington, and they're one of the best in the league at it, and they're proving that right now.
How much has goaltending been a story for you in these finals? Because we were talking about it earlier, but you know, Tuukka Rask obviously has great numbers, but it's really seemed like he hasn't had to do much on the Bruins end through the first three games, and it's not to the point where it's a story, at least. How are you looking at it through three games?
Well, I thought he was awfully good in, you know, early on in game two. I thought he was awfully good. I thought he was rock solid in game one and not overly tested, but I still think you still have to make those saves. And last night's game three, I thought he just looked good. Blues obviously trying to go, you know, high, get him to lean off post or cheat off post a little bit. And I think he's been very patient, holding his ground extremely well. And let's face it, he's held his composure, which is a big thing for any goaltender, and making the saves that you're supposed to make. I mean, going into the final, I had him as, if he wasn't the top one, he was in the top three for the Conn Smythe, and I don't think he's gotten too much away from that.
Has anything surprised you about the series, the way it's gone so far, Darren, from what you expected going in?
I don't know if you know what? Bruce Cassidy's a longtime good friend of mine. We played on two different championship teams. We played in Chicago together for a little bit. We've kept in touch all these years. I think both coaches are excellent. I like the way they deal with their team. I've watched that show that the NHL has produced, and I think that between period stuff is great. What has surprised me? Smaller defensemen on the Boston Bruins are rock solid. I felt bad for Grizzlick. I think he's a terrific player, and you don't like to see anybody get hurt. That Connor Clifton, I got to tell you, I love watching that kid play. I think he surprised a lot of people how strong he is. And being a smaller guy, I love the little guy. So, you know, that part of it. But the fourth line of St. Louis without Sundquist, it still played well last night. And I think that fourth line mentality, you're seeing that with Corrali's line. I like the third line of the Boston Bruins. But now Pandora's box has just been opened up because Bergeron and Pastrnak and Marchand had a nice night last night. So now it's about the Blues, maybe the second line, to perk up a little bit here. And we'll see if the head coach Berube makes any changes or not, especially on maybe that second line.
So now, Darren, let's just assume for argument's sake that Binnington bounces back and he's back in the form that he was earlier in the playoffs or just even in the first two games of the series. I mean, which player or which line do you think you need to get more out of right now if you're the Blues to get this series even? I mean, I look at it as, you know, Ryan O'Reilly hasn't been as big a factor as I expected him to be in this series. I mean, who do you see, you know, as the one that has to come through?
I totally agree with that assessment. I think that, you know, Ryan O'Reilly needs line mates that hold onto pucks and make plays. Ryan O'Reilly doesn't need line mates that run around. It's never been good for him because he's a puck possession guy, and he's not the fastest guy, but he's strong on pucks. He's good down low, but he needs support. And support means another teammate being 8 feet away from him at all times. And for me, Sammy Blais is a good young player. I like him a lot, but sometimes getting 9 hits and not making a play isn't exactly what Ryan O'Reilly needs. And David Perron, for me, you know, I think at this time of the year with a veteran player, you have to have better composure than what he has shown. And we'll see what Craig Berube does with that line. But that would be the number one line for me.
Any predictions going forward, Darren, before we let you go? How do you think game four will go?
Well, I thought they'd split after four, so I'm going to go that way. Another gritty one. I think when the Bruins win, they're going to win. And they won big, and not big in game one, but big enough. And then they tight one in game two, and then they win big in game three. And I believe the only way the Blues are going to win are tight ones. So I'm going to go to another 3-2 win for the Blues, and we'll go back to Boston, and we'll be rolling.
There you go. Best of three to win it. Darren, thank you for the time this morning. We appreciate it. Enjoy the series.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Darren.
That's the great Panger, Darren Pang, here on Sports Radio WEEI. So he thinks line changes for line two.
Yeah,
so
that'd be interesting.
Which would be what, like maroon bumps up?
I don't think they've changed their lines in a while, too, so that'll be interesting. I mean, I guess it also depends on who's available.
Yep.
If Thomas is available, and obviously you're putting Sundqvist back in. So maybe he liked enough out of Sanford that maybe he wants to bump Sanford onto one of these lines.
Yep, get the local story there. He got the cup first after Petrangelo, I think.
After John
give
Moore.
Give it to Sanford. Oh, give it the local guy. You follow a big name like Darren Pang with another big name,
I think,
is just the natural progression. So Fred in New Hampshire has been with us from the jump, and he's not afraid to look ahead. I know some people don't want to talk about this when they win the cup stuff.
Wait,
but
yes,
Freddie is fearless.
Yes or no, Dale already turned this off.
Yeah, well, long ago, yeah. I don't think he was listening anyway, but he caught some tweets about our audacity. Fred in New Hampshire joins us on Skate. Good morning, Fred.
Ken, Pete, Matt, morning.
Good morning.
Love to hear about the Panga. A guy that size to make the NHL, amazing. But first, I want to talk about Bennington.
Yeah.
He showed his true colors last night. These people that play him up like, oh, wow, it's a great story. This, now, he was the fourth goal. He wasn't even going to be called up this year. He was on a roll, yeah. What we've got in his head now. He's got a big five hole. Big five hole. And we're taking advantage of it. All right. Second thing, the New York Islanders in the early 80s used to play this game. You want to hit, we'll hit you. You want to skate, we'll skate with you. This looks like this Bruins team. This is how they play. Hey, you want to try to take us out? We're going to take care of you. And if you want to play a skating game, we'll skate with you. They've done this throughout this playoffs. The Toronto series, they had a skate. They skated, okay? At Columbus, they wanted to try to take us out by hitting us. Hitting the Bruins. Uh-huh. Anyway, but they can play any style, and that's what makes this team so special. Now, I'm glad they took back the home ice advantage. They took it back last night. Don't give it up. Let's go and take care of business tomorrow night. And
well, they
the very
even
last,
if they lose, they still have home ice. So they won't give that up.
Well, I understand that, but I don't want it just to keep going. The very, very last thing, okay?
Yeah.
I went out, and the beginning of the series, I bought a six-pack of Budweiser's. You know where the king of beer is made.
Uh-huh.
I mean, where their plant is.
Oh.
So I went out and bought that. And every game after the national anthem, I drink one of them.
Ooh.
Okay?
Discipline.
So, yes. Well, I drink other things after that, but I drink one. Anyways, I drink it. And if it goes longer than, because I thought it was going to go six games. If it goes longer than six.
Uh-oh, you're out.
Yeah, and I'm going out and buying a 30-pack if it's a seventh game. Take care, guys.
See you, Freddie.
Take it easy.
Freddie is engaged. Anheuser-Busch ready to go. We got Barstool Sports on towels here. They got Anheuser-Busch sponsoring their towel? I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know. It's a Belgian company now.
Yeah, that's true. So the no ties to St. Louis at all?
I'm sure they're still. They
just the Clydesdales.
Yeah.
Building.
Remember how Don Cherry loved those Clydesdales?
He did love the horses, yeah. We're a little more Don Cherry on our way out the door. We got Wiggy in the house. Bradford is actually here. Can you believe this? He flew back on the charter.
I know, probably first class.
Yep, first class.
Private jet.
Spent a lot of money to do so. He is the very reason you are not in St. Louis. He's going to be here to answer for that coming up next before his show. Reamer, Bradford, Wiggy, top of the hour. Your last chance to get in on Sunday Skate, 617-779-7937. Laird, Calvin, Blackburn, Sports Radio, WEI.
Ken, Pete, Matt, morning. Love to hear about the Panga.
Now back to a Stanley Cup Finals edition of Sunday Skate with Ken Laird, Pete Blackburn, and Matt Calvin on Sports Radio, WEI.
three-time Tarasenko, their best goal scorer, is on. He has Chera on there. Now watch, he jumps it in. He don't want any part of this. I'm not saying he's afraid. Who wouldn't be afraid? Watch, he picks up the puck here, throws it out in the middle. The next time, I think he really gets creamed. I mean, who wouldn't be this guy? But he hasn't been hitting anybody, Chera. But he knows every time Tarasenko's out there, he's got Chera there, and he is murdering him, as they say.
Yep. Don Cherry, hockey expert. Wiggy, not so much.
We'll Chera, Wiggy, top of the hour. How come they can't pronounce English words in Canada?
Wiggy's back from Georgia. Bradford is here. He's back from his trip to Yankee Stadium. He drove back overnight.
Yeah. Who's staying for an extra hour of you three?
I think Pete Blackburn's the bonus hour guy. Except he's moving this weekend, so I'm not sure he's...
I can probably stay.
Oh, there you go. So there you go. Matt, no?
No, I got to get back to work. You know, okay. you got the crack in the whip
that's
on
right,
me.
That's right.
I don't get to go to St. Louis. Still got to...
Listen, who posted the big John Moore is replacing Matt Grizzlick story right. yesterday? That was me from a Starbucks in Secaucus, New Jersey.
There you go. All right, let's get this out once and for all. Why is Matt Kalman not in St. Louis for
WEI.com? We even have either it's Hags or Hags' wife or someone... texting us now, you know, telling me I suck because I'm not there and he is.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, immediately when I heard that the other morning, I started a GoFundMe page. So so hopefully that we can get you maybe to game six.
But you had resources you allocated to Bradford in New York and passed on Kalman in St. Louis, correct?
Yeah, that would be accurate. I took the private jet to New York instead of St. Louis. I think that we are strategically approaching this. I'm glad that Matt is here, number one.
I am, too. It was the right call not to go for game three.
Yes,
correct.
Game three. And it is always good to spend $1,000 to go for a game four. Yes. Well, they're going to clinch in game six. Matt Kalman is going to be there in St. Louis. And if they were going to clinch in game four, as you know, Matt, as Ken knows, you were going to be there for that as well.
At least you got your money's worth out of the Red Sox.
Like I said, when I could post John Moore in Secaucus, New Jersey, that is gold.
But Bradford came in and he said, your column today is getting red.
Yeah,
it is. He's on fire. The Blues are dirty column.
Dirty. People love it.
Great idea. How bad was his idea for everything is going to be all right after game two, though?
I don't think it was a bad idea. I think Matt's doing a fine job, but I think that... You know, the people, it's a lesson in how people want to consume things. They want the viciousness. They want the animosity.
Which he brings. Huh. He normally brings it.
No, but I can totally sympathize with Matt, because when you're covering a team and everyone wants to react to everything at all the times, you're like, hey, listen, here's the reality of this. And he was right, by the way, right?
And by the way, also, you know, I got OMF to talk about my column for the first time all season. My wife's friends are hearing things. I won. I won that day. Not only was I right, but two shows.
Did they have you on? No.
Well, because I already had done my 2 hours with Mutton Callahan. See, I ran the table that day. I owned that day.
But I think you're going to own this day because you called St. Louis dirty. I think
it's
a win-win.
Clearly, yeah. Anytime you can go negative.
But no, this is playing off the passion of what we hope this series brings, because coming in, we talked about this, there wasn't, other than John Hamm, what did we have, right?
But I told you that you were going to hate these guys, so I was a little off.
But here's the thing is that... After game two, that was where the hatred was most prevalent, right?
It takes a little
time. And we got the three little birds.
It didn't take very long.
2011 was pure hatred in the cup final, right? 2013 was like nothing, like zero in comparison.
This has been a roller coaster of hatred.
I can't remember that one.
I don't think 2011's been matched since.
No, of course not.
It was just out of control.
Because it was hatred, and yet the Canucks were taking it. You know,
but it was on both sides.
That's what I'm saying.
They had a riot there's going to be no riot in St. Louis.
It was so bad that the neutral fan was rooting for Boston because the Canucks were that unlikable.
And plus their coach was smarmy. You know, even though the Sedins are clean cut, it was easy to hate them because they were too clean cut, and everyone wanted, you know, all of Canada wanted to protect them. Plus, I think you also had, because you had most of Canada was rooting against Vancouver too. Yeah. You know, so.
But here was a great move by Matt today, is that, you know, after game two, everyone's talking about, you know, the hatred, the whatever. After today, everyone probably wrote, I haven't read everybody, but everyone probably wrote, oh, the Bruins are going to win. This is a real Bruins, blah, 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 blah. No, man. No, this dig in on the hatred. This dig in on the dirty.
It's going to happen. You know, if this keeps going this way, the more the Bruins take leads, the more the Blues are going to try and take shots at them because they're going to be desperate.
What do you think game four is going to be? I mean, this is going to be – Tuukka Rask is going to be on his butt like half the time, right? Despite what the Packers
I don't know
says.
If they'll get through to Tuukka, but they're going to try to, they're definitely going to try to antagonize Marchand like we were talking about. You know, they want to get him off his game. And no, I can't believe there hasn't been more of that. I mean, never mind him licking and doing all that. How come more teams haven't tried to get Marchand off his game? It's crazy. They're just wasting their time. It's like I was talking about where they don't put the puck in Carlos' corner. They just keep trying to go after Krug, even though it doesn't work. These teams clearly don't
have But you know why they didn't, Matt? You know why they didn't? Because you weren't in St. Louis last
exactly.
night.
Exactly. Because if they would hire me as a consultant.
All fanboys out there, no critics, because Count was here. But we liked it. We'll be back next Sunday for sure. It'll either be previewing Game 6 or reacting to, I think, a championship parade at that point. Will have happened already after a Game 5 Thursday
and we'll,
night
and
win.
We'll be making fun of you for saying that Backus wasn't going to get the cup.
Although, if it's a Thursday night, they wouldn't parade on Friday. So
can't
it would
parade
wait
on
next,
Saturday.
Probably Sunday.
Saturday's Pride in Boston.
Right.
So.
Okay.
And also, the Red Sox will be eliminated by then as well. So.
Well, you guys be talking a little Red Sox, I'm sure.
Oh, you got it. You're talking about negativity.
Yeah,
I mean, this is what stirs the drink, right?
Yes. Although, you know, hatred. That's a good topic there. Who's the most hated of the 12
teams?
Little theme show? Yeah, yeah.
Who's the most hated guest? I mean, Wiggy's here. Reamer's here. Let's put up a poll.
Okay. Work on it. We gave you some working material. Calvin, good stuff. You're back on next win. Not sure?
Well, if there's a game six, I won't be here, actually. This is when we travel. And I miss travel.
Oh, now you're complaining about it. Oh, my God. I got to go to St. Louis.
And Pete's sticking around. Pete Blackburn, check him
but
out.
But it's ending
Blackburn,
in 5.
Blackburn, check him out at CBS Sports. And he'll be here for the bonus hour with Reamer, Bradford, and Wiggy coming up next. See ya.